But today I'd like to talk about how to pass with straight F's. That's right. How to pass with straight F's. And I know now that I've said that we probably have some teens in this room nudging their parents saying, "See, I told you I don't have to study." Don't worry, Mom and Dad. We're not talking about F's in school. We're not talking about A's in school. We're not talking about academic success. What we are going to be talking about is spiritual success and how to live spiritually healthy lives by following three F's, and those three F's are going to be friends, faith, and forgiveness. So we're going to be talking about those three F's this morning. And a lot of times in American churches, we like to have the clever sermon titles, so that's why we went with How to Pass with Straight F's. But I want to just give you a little sneak peek into what some of the other options were. We did consider How to Stay Healthy with Vitamin F, but that was kind of lame. The other one was the Bible's favorite F words. But I thought that was pushing some boundaries today, so we're just going to stick with How to Pass with Straight F's. I'd like to start off this morning with a quick survey. If you could hold your hands up, how many of you have a social media account of some type, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever? Keep your hands up. All right. How many of you have at least 50 friends or followers on that account? Okay. How many of you have at least 100 friends or followers? Oh, we're starting to weed people out. How many have at least 500 friends or followers? Wow. Okay. I thought our church was more popular than that. How many of you have at least 1,000 friends or followers? Okay. Here are the stars here. How many have at least 3,000 friends or followers? Anybody still going? Oh, wow, Mr. Popular here. How about 5,000? Whoa, 10,000? Okay, he dropped off at 10,000. Well, here's a bigger question. How many of those hundreds or thousands of friends or followers do you actually know? Might get rid of some people there. And if we were to ask one more question, how many of those friends or followers on Facebook or Instagram would you actually consider to be a good, real friend? Probably very few, right? But even though very few of those people are actually good friends of ours, there's still something special about having people like us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram. There's something that just makes us feel special, right? Now, for some people, it becomes a little bit of an obsession. That's why you see people constantly taking selfies. And they're constantly, for some reason, taking selfies in the bathroom. And they're clogging up your news feed when you pull up Facebook or Instagram with pictures of themselves in various faces and in various bathrooms. And so you start to get a little annoyed and you unfollow them on Facebook. But I think if we talk more about this, we realize that social media can be very overwhelming at times, right? Can be overwhelming. And I know that some of you did not raise your hands when I asked if you had a social media account of some type. And I think you're to be applauded because social media can often be a distraction and it can be an addiction. I know some of you in this room have given up social media for Lent. We're in the Lent season right now leading up to Easter, and some of you have decided to give up social media. And you're probably in a state right now where you can actually exhale. I don't have to check Facebook 100 times a day. Now, on the flip side, there are some of you who have given up social media for Lent, and you're starting to get the shakes. You're going through withdrawal right now. I can't check Facebook 100 times a day. Now, if that's you, I'd like to tell you, you might have a problem. And you might want to consider making some more permanent changes when it comes to your social media. You might want to consider giving it up completely. And if that's you, you might want to watch this video right here.
Okay, Ms. Branston, you're here to declare social bankruptcy. I want you to be clear on what this means. You will be absolved of all debt. All your Facebook friends will be gone. All your emails and voicemails will be deleted. All your Twitter followers will be gone. You'll be able to start with a clean slate. But this is kind of the nuclear option. Mm-hmm. Do you get that?
It's like it physically hurts when it goes off.
I just want you to know.
Sorry,
what.
Hold on.
If you need to, you know, like a couple friends. Instagrams or something.
I don't want to do any of that anymore.
We do offer counseling to help you sort of get out of debt.
I tried that. I feel like my bandwidth is just full.
I have some template responses I use. Pet pictures. I'll just write cute, just like with a bunch of O's.
Cute is with a U.
No, C-Y-O-O-O-O-T.
I can't wait to miss out on jokes like that.
All right, Ms. Brownstein, you can sign right there.
I'll go to the library and find something in a book and...
What's a library? Is that like a big Kindle?
So maybe it would be good for you to consider declaring social media bankruptcy like that woman there. And you could replace it with the three F's that we're going to talk about today. Replace it with friends, with faith, and with forgiveness. If you have your Bibles with you this morning or if you have the Bible app on your phone, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 2. We're going to read an account of Jesus performing an incredible healing where he healed a paralyzed man. Now, this account is also found in the book of Luke, and if you read it in the book of Luke, you find out that this healing took place pretty early on in Jesus' ministry. Luke tells us that it took place shortly after Jesus called his very first disciples to follow after him. So we're at a place in Jesus' ministry where word about him is starting to get out that he's a miracle worker, that he can perform healings. He's starting to get famous. He's getting crowds of people following after him. And we're going to pick things up where a large crowd is following him. So let's read in verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Our first takeaway from this story is that if we want to live spiritually healthy lives, we need friends. Living healthy lives requires friends. We read in verse 3 that there's a paralyzed man, and we assume he wants to be healed, even though it doesn't explicitly say it in those verses, but I think it's safe to assume that the paralyzed man didn't want to be paralyzed anymore. I think it's safe for us to say that his friends wanted to see him healed because they went to great lengths to see that healing take place. The paralyzed man's friends carried him. They got to the scene. It was a huge crowd, so they carried him on top of the roof. They dug a hole in the roof, lowered the man down to Jesus so he could be healed. That is some serious friendship. That's a lot different than having somebody like your Facebook post. That's a lot different than having somebody write "cute" under your pet picture. We need friendships like this. The Bible tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. It says, pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. God did not design us to go through life alone. We were not created to be alone. We read in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, in the story of creation, that God first created Adam and said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will create a helper suitable for him. And that's when God created Eve. We were not designed to go through life alone. We're designed to have somebody help us through life, whether that's a spouse, whether that's family, whether that's friends. Now, the paralyzed man that we read about experienced an incredible healing because of the friends that carried him to Jesus. And you know, some of us in this room are living, breathing, walking miracles because of the friends in our lives who carried us to Jesus. Some of you in this room were once paralyzed. You were paralyzed by sin. You were addicted to drugs. You were addicted to alcohol. You were addicted to gambling, to sex, to a number of things, until a friend reached out to you and told you about the hope that you have in Jesus, and God healed you. That friend carried you to Jesus. Some of us in this room were making bad choices. We were heading down a road that leads to destruction until somebody reached out to us, a friend reached out to us and told us about Jesus. They carried us to Jesus and God healed us. Do you have friends like that in your life? Do we have friends that will carry us to Jesus when we're in need? Do we have friends that will come alongside us, take care of us? Do we have friends that will come to our house and pray for us when we're sick? Do we have friends that will love us enough to talk to us if they see that we're making bad decisions? It's critical that we have friends like that in our lives if we want to live spiritually healthy lives. One of the best ways to develop friendships like that is to get involved in one of the life groups that we have here at the church. We have multiple life groups that try to reach out to various age groups, all walks of life, but it's vital that you try to get involved into a life group like that, because this is where we establish deep, meaningful friendships, deep, meaningful relationships. It's our hope here at the church that you can find at least one or two friends where you can have that type of relationship, where you have a friend who will comfort you when you need comforted, who will support you when you need supported, who will challenge you when you need challenged. It's vital for us to have friends like that. But we also have to ask ourselves, are we being that type of friend to somebody else? You know, we often view situations by taking a hands-off approach. We hear that somebody is experiencing problems in their marriage. We hear that people are experiencing problems at work, and we talk ourselves out of getting involved. It's easy for us to look at that and say, "Ah, I don't know if I want to get involved in that. That's a messy situation." Or you say, "I don't know if I have the time to really get involved in that." Or, "I've got enough problems of my own. I don't know." We talk ourselves out of it. We come up with excuses. But think about the men who carried the paralyzed man to Jesus. They did some heavy lifting by carrying him up onto the roof. They dug a hole through the roof and got their hands dirty. If we want to be a friend like that to somebody else, it requires heavy lifting. It requires us getting our hands dirty at times. But that's the calling that God's placed on each of our lives. So the first takeaway from this story is that spiritually healthy living requires friends. The second takeaway from this story is that healthy living requires faith. Verse 5 starts off by saying, "When Jesus saw their faith." This is referring to the faith of the paralyzed man and his friends. Do you really think that they would have gone to such great lengths to see the man get healed? Do you think they really would have gone through all of that, caused a big scene by digging a hole through the roof and lowering the man down to Jesus, if they did not think Jesus could heal him? Of course not. But their faith motivated them to do this. How many of you know that there's a difference between belief and faith? There's a difference between belief and faith. Belief can be defined like this: an opinion or judgment, should say, or judgment in which a person is fully persuaded. An opinion or judgment in which a person is fully persuaded. I have an example for you. Now, I can believe that this chair right here can support my weight. You can fully persuade me that this chair can support my weight. Now, I've spoken at church before, and when I've spoken here, I've always sat in this chair. I've never once sat in that chair right there. But I can believe that that chair is strong enough to support my weight. I can go to schooling and study about how this chair was constructed and how it can support my weight. I can get a group together of friends from the church, and we can meet every other week, and we can hang out and have snacks, and we can discuss the ways that this chair was constructed and how it has supported the weight of people over the years. I can even sing songs about this chair. Amazing chair. You see where I'm going with this? I can believe that this chair can support my weight, but there's something different when I actually show my confidence in this chair and I put my belief into action and sit in this chair and discover that it can support my weight. That's the difference between belief and faith. Faith takes my belief and it adds confidence and it adds action. The paralyzed man and his friends believed that Jesus could heal, but they weren't content to just sit there and believe it. They took action and they showed confidence in Jesus by doing whatever it took to see that healing take place. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants to see us put that belief in action. Now, our final takeaway from this story is that healthy living requires forgiveness. When Jesus looked at the paralyzed man, he looked past the man's physical problems. He looked past the paralysis, and he saw a deeper need that that man had. He saw the need for forgiveness. That was Jesus' main concern. So the very first thing that Jesus said to him was not, pick up your mat, walk away, you're healed. That's not what he said. The first thing Jesus said to him was, son, your sins are forgiven. Jesus wanted the man to know that he was accepted as part of God's family. He wanted the man to stop feeling so guilty. He wanted him to take comfort in the forgiveness that the Son of God was giving to him. This is a critical step in living spiritually healthy lives. We need to be able to accept God's forgiveness for our sins. And we also need to take it a step further. We need to be able to forgive ourselves for the mistakes that we've made in life. We're oftentimes our worst critic, right? It's tough to forgive ourselves. But if we're going to have a problem accepting God's forgiveness for our sins, and if we're going to have problems and struggle with forgiving ourselves for our own mistakes, it's going to be awfully difficult for us to offer forgiveness to someone else. But that's what God's calling us to do. Every problem in the world, whether it's marital problems, whether it's greed, whether it's anger, whether it's lust, whatever, every problem in this world has its root in sin. And oftentimes that sin is the sin of unforgiveness. How many marriages could be saved if the spouses would just forgive each other? How many friendships, broken friendships, could be healed if we would just forgive one another? How many lawsuits could be avoided if we would just forgive one another? Many of our problems have their roots in unforgiveness. Somebody hurts us, and it becomes difficult for us to forgive them. So we hang on to that unforgiveness, and we think we can get by. We tend to compartmentalize things, and so we take that unforgiveness, and we tuck it away into a corner of our lives and think we can get by, but it doesn't work that way. Unforgiveness eats away like a cancer. We need to learn how to forgive. In fact, the Bible commands us to forgive one another. Colossians 3:12-14 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. As we start to wrap up this morning, I believe that God is really wanting to do something special in this church involving relationships. God is wanting to see us develop deep, meaningful friendships with one another. And if we're going to do that, we've got to abide by what the Bible tells us here in Colossians. It's instructions right here for us. We're to clothe ourselves with compassion. We're to clothe ourselves with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience. Think about it this way. You don't wake up each day and accidentally get dressed. I know some of us look like we accidentally get dressed, but no. We all make a conscious decision about what we're going to wear. We put some thought into what we're going to wear that day, and it needs to be the same way with our friendships. We need to make a conscious decision to clothe ourselves with kindness, to clothe ourselves with humility, with patience. We need to learn how to be the bigger person and forgive the other person who has offended us so that healing can take place. If we can make a practice of putting into habit the three F's of friendship, of faith, and forgiveness, I believe that God's going to honor that and he's going to bless us for our obedience. We're going to pass with straight F's. And there are some other benefits too, because you know what? The outside world looking in, those who have not yet put their faith and trust and hope in Jesus, they're going to see us Christians and they're going to see something different. They're going to see our faith. They're going to see our forgiveness. And they're going to see the friendships that we have with one another. They're going to see the love that we have for each other. And they're going to respond in a very similar way to the way the crowd responded when the paralyzed man took his mat, got up, and walked away. They're going to say, "We have never seen anything like this." Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, fill this place with your presence. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your forgiveness for my sins, for the mistakes that I've made. I thank you for the forgiveness you offer every person in this world, every person in this room, if we would just accept it. I thank you for the hope that you've given to us. I thank you for the relationships that you offer to us, relationship with you through your son Jesus. The opportunity to have good, healthy relationships within our families, good, healthy relationships with the other people in this church. And Lord, right now, I pray for each person in this room that's struggling this morning with different aspects of what we talked about today. Lord, I pray for people who are struggling with faith, with taking their belief to the next level and showing their confidence in you. I pray for an abundance of faith for those struggling with faith this morning. Lord, I pray for those who are feeling alone, those who feel like they don't have somebody to walk through life with them. They don't have somebody who will help carry them. I pray for the lonely and brokenhearted in this room. And Lord, I pray for those who are struggling with forgiveness and unforgiveness, for those who are struggling with accepting your forgiveness, for those who are struggling with forgiving themselves, and those who are struggling with forgiving those who have hurt them. Holy Spirit, come and do what only you can do. If you are struggling with forgiveness, unforgiveness, if you're struggling with loneliness, any of the things that we talked about this morning, I'd just like to pray a special blessing on you. If, with all eyes closed, if you just want to raise your hand, I'd like to just pray for you where you are right now. Multiple hands are up this morning. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, you see these hands. You see the hearts of the people who are not raising their hands, Lord. So right now, I pray your touch, Holy Spirit, come work in each heart, work in the lives of each person who has their hand up this morning. Bring healing, Lord God. Bring healing inside and out. Right now, Holy Spirit, just wash over them your love, your peace. Thank you, Lord God. Put your heart inside of them. Allow them to forgive others the way that they've been forgiven by you. I pray for the lonely, Lord God. Bring people into their lives. Allow them to start developing significant relationships, Lord, healthy relationships. Bless them, Lord God. If you're here this morning and you realize that you've never accepted God's forgiveness, you've never given him a chance to develop a relationship with you, you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I want to give you that chance this morning. So with all eyes closed, if there's anybody who has not yet given their life to Jesus and wants that type of relationship, you want to experience the forgiveness that God offers for the sin in your life, you want the opportunity to live eternally in heaven with Jesus, I invite you to raise your hand this morning. God wants to start a relationship with you. So if there's anyone who wants that, who wants to experience life with Jesus, just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for the people who are making decisions for you this morning. Work in their hearts, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name. Praise your name. Lord God, we seal the decisions that people have made this morning in your name, decisions to follow after you, decisions to forgive others. We bless it, Lord God. We bless the relationships that you want to develop in this church. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, now's the time of our service where we collect our offering. So if we could have our ushers come forward. As I was worshiping, I feel like God had a couple things that he wanted to share with us this morning. We often pray for the Holy Spirit to speak to us and give us images or words that we can share with people. And one image I got was of a reptile. You know, reptiles and snakes, they like to molt, and the growth process comes when they shed their old skin. And that image is big in my mind. And I feel like God's saying that there's some people in this room that want to grow, but you're hanging on to that dead skin. You're not taking that next step in growth. I don't know if that means God's calling you to get baptized, you've never been baptized before, maybe God's calling you to get plugged into a group. Whatever it is, I feel like there are some people in this room that it's time to grow, it's time to shed that dead skin. So if that's you, I want to pray for you this morning. And I've got another word. I'm one of the leaders in our School of Kingdom Ministry, and I asked our leaders to be praying this week for this Sunday to see if God would share any words with them. And one of my fellow leaders gave me a word to pass along. And this is not an easy word, but what she had to say, I feel like is very pertinent for today. But she said that as she was praying, she felt like God gave her the vision of a heart, like the muscle, and there was a big wound inside of it, and it was festering, and it was getting diseased. And she said it was because of abortion. And I know abortion's not an easy thing to talk about, but she said this was specifically for a man who had encouraged his girlfriend or significant other to have an abortion. And we believe that God really wants healing to take place. There is forgiveness and there's healing that can take place this morning. And it's one thing to say you believe God can heal you of that forgiveness, but it's another thing to take that next step and to show confidence in God and take action and show that faith that he can heal you. So I'm not going to point you out or anything. You know where to find me after service. I'd love to pray for you personally if that's you. It could be a man or a woman, but she feels like it was really a man who took part in an abortion and has just been allowing that pain to just really eat away at his heart. So if either of those things that I mentioned speak to you, look for me. I'd love to pray with you. We're going to close with one song. If you feel led to come up to the front and worship, pray to God during this last song, feel free. We want to open up this front to you. But again, look for me after the service. I'd love to pray for you. Pray with you. Thank you.
We say yes. We say yes, God. accept the invitation to your love. We say yes, God. You and you alone can have it all. God, no more excuses, so we open the door and we let you in. I've made up my mind, I've got no more excuses, so we open the door and we let you in.
Let you in.
I've made up my mind, I've got no more excuses, so we open the door and we let
we say you yes.
In. We say yes, God. We accept the invitation to your love. We say yes, God. You and you alone can have it all.
Say yes.
We say yes, God. We accept the invitation to your love. We say yes, God. You and you alone can have it all.
I've made up my mind.
I made up my mind, I've got no more excuses, so we open the door and we let